just amazing to see just the life of God in this congregation. It's amazing to hear the testimonies, to see people get healing, breakthrough. It is really, really phenomenal. And it's actually quite cool being here because Musenberg was actually planted out of Weinberg during COVID, funny enough. You know, like the world stood still during COVID, but God's kingdom never stands still. And it was just so cool just to see, you know, God planting Musenberg out of Weinberg and actually God adding people to Musenberg. It's really, really phenomenal. So it's really amazing being here. And I actually just want to say this. If you've been visiting for a while and you feel God's added to you, yeah, but you haven't actually given yourself, I really just want to encourage you to give yourself. Belong to this body. Belong to this body. Just like my arm belongs to the rest of my body. So we call to belong to one another. But you have to give yourself. Just wanted to share that. I do feel like these people here on the fringes. And God's calling you to give yourself. Because if you give yourself, God will fulfill his plans and his purposes. You can't do it on your own, unfortunately. And then also just want to see, it's just amazing. Like, so this morning, we're from a morning congregation, sorry. This afternoon, I want to speak about purity, and I feel there's a lot to be said about purity. We in a culture where everything is impure, and we really have to take a stand against that and live as pure, holy people before God. But when I say purity, I mean the first thing that comes to mind when I say purity is what? It's porn, right? And porn is, sorry guys, just so that you know, I'm just going to throw it out there. We're going to speak about porn and sexual sin. We're just going to go for it, okay? But I don't only mean porn. I really just mean anything that has a hold over us, anything that makes us impure before God. And that can be sin. It can be bad habits. It can be thinking patterns. It can be anything like that. And really, kind of the question I want to ask this afternoon, is each one of us, are we walking in purity before the Lord? Are we getting victory over sin? Or are we still struggling with the same things that we struggled with a year ago, or 2 years ago, or even 6 months ago? Or are we continually walking in victory? The kingdom of God doesn't stand still. It doesn't go backwards, it only moves forward. And if we're in God's kingdom, if we're walking with him, we must see victory. We must continually be convicted of sin, and we must continually see victory. It can be small victories, it can be big victories, but the point is we're moving forward. Or are we still struggling with the same things that we've struggled with many years ago? Like really, like just leading a church and seeing people, it really breaks my heart to see people go around the same mountain over and over and over again and actually just never breaking into the mall. And God's called us to break into the mall, right? Okay? In the book of Samuel, I'm busy reading through Samuel. And in the first book of Samuel, the people comes to Samuel and they say they want a king. They're looking at the nations around them. And they're going, we want a king like the nations around us. And then God tells Samuel that they've rejected me because I'm the king. Which is hectic. It's hectic. And the question I want to ask us is, what sin are kings in our lives? Like what things is sitting on the thrones of our hearts? Because actually, if you read Samuel, it says that they actually rejected the Lord their God as their king because they desired something else to be king over them. Or not something else, someone else. And when we speak about purity, we often speak about the how. You know, like, you know, I come to church and God convicts me that I shouldn't watch porn. So I'm going to really try my hardest this week not to watch porn, right? Or God will convict me that I should read my Bible more. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and I'm going to read my Bible for 2 hours. Or we feel convicted that we're watching too much TV, so I'm going to stop watching TV. Or, you know, I get angry quickly, so I'm going to really try not to get angry with my wife and my kids. And And I think that's important. We have to talk about the how to walk in purity, but I really this morning want to focus on the why. Why should you walk in purity? Because I think if we can answer that question, the how will follow. Because we quickly fall into the trap of behavior modification. This is one of the definitions for behavior modification, and it speaks in the context of children. Behavior modification is defined as the alteration of behavioral patterns through the use of such learning techniques as biofeedback and positive or negative reinforcements. Or more simply, you can modify your child's behavior with positive consequences or negative consequences. The parents in this hall will understand. So we can quickly go, I'm going to put these things in place not to watch porn, or I'm so convicted that I have to read the Bible, you know, that I'm, you know, like I said, going to get up at 4 o'clock. Now, I'm not saying we don't need discipline. We need to have discipline in walking with God. And we are called to deny our flesh and to follow Jesus. So I'm not saying that's not part of it. All I'm saying is we really just have to be careful that we don't just go through the motions. Because I think often we in church and we go, as a leader, I have to, you know, be careful of this. Okay, cool, that person, he or she goes to community group and he or she comes to church so that they're being discipled and they're walking with God. It's dangerous. It's actually dangerous because just because we attend community and just because we go to church doesn't mean we're walking in purity, because we can quickly learn to say the right things. We can quickly learn to use the right phrases in church. And we can quickly sound quite spiritual to look like we're walking with God and to look like we're walking in purity, but actually we're not. So we just have to be very careful of behavior modification, because it happens so quickly, and it's sometimes quite subtle that we start going through the motions and we get disconnected from God and we start focusing on our behavior and we start focusing on the how do we, you know, walk with God and how do we do things and how do we walk in purity. And we actually then fall into danger, like becoming like the Pharisees. You know, we often speak negative about the Pharisees in the Bible, but they really had, like, they were zealous for God. I mean, they missed it. They completely missed it, but they were zealous. They were zealous, and they knew how to say the right things, and they knew, you know, when they were fasting, people knew they were fasting, and they sat in front of the church, and they said the right things, but the Bible says they were dead inside. They were like whitewashed graves. And then Jesus says this about the Pharisees, Matthew 15. He's speaking about the Pharisees. These people honest me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And they got the hell right. They were in church, they were devoted, they followed all the laws, they knew what to say, they knew what to do, they knew how to behave, but their hearts were far from him. And we just, like this afternoon is really an encouragement to go, you know, the how to walk in purity is important, because it does give us boundaries and it does give us things and tools that can keep us safe in terms of walking in purity. But unless we can answer the why is it important to walk in purity? It's not sustainable. I mean, whoever here, you get convicted to read the word, and then you get up at 4 o'clock, and then that works for about 5 days, and then you crash and burn, eh? Has that ever happened? Thank you. Yes, exactly. So the question is not how to walk in purity, because that will be from individual to individual. But why should you want to walk in purity with God? Especially in today's culture, it's so impure. And I really believe the word want, why should we want to walk in purity, is important. Because do we really want to walk in purity before God? Do we really want to be set apart, holy, walking in purity before Him? Or deep down, if we have to be honest with ourselves, are we actually satisfied with where we are? Are we satisfied just with going through the motions, saying the right things, going around the same mountain over and over and over again? Or do we have a desire, do we want to break free, I'm Afrikaans, and walk in purity? And the why do we want to walk in purity? It has to do with the affections of our heart. The affections of our heart. That baby agrees with me. What are the affections of our heart? Like what are our hearts after? Because if we can answer that, then our behavior will follow. John Piper, I read a book about John Piper recently, and he wrote about Jonathan Edwards. Now, Jonathan Edwards was a pastor and a preacher in the 1700s, and some really consider him to be one of the greatest preachers ever. And he preached a famous preech. Who knows? What's his most well-known preech, Jonathan Edwards? Does anyone know? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, where they say, during that preach, people were so scared of going to hell, they were clinging onto the pillars and hiding underneath the chairs and stuff. So, he was really an anointed preacher. But he was accused that he did not make external deeds of love and justice his goal when he preached, rather than just the affections of the heart. So some people were accusing him by saying, you only preach about the affections of people's hearts. You never preach about the external deeds of being a Christian, of justice and love. And the answer is this. This was his answer. That he does not make behavior his aim of his preaching. He does make behavior his aim, but he does it by aiming to transform the spring of behavior, and that is our affections. So Jonathan Edwards believed that if God changes the affections of people's hearts, their behavior will follow. And I think oftentimes in church, we reverse that. We work on people's behavior, and we get people to say the right thing, and we get people to go to community and come to church, which is obviously there's nothing wrong with that. But unless God changes our hearts, the affections of our hearts, it's not sustainable. And we're in the danger of just going through the motions. The spring or fountain of our behavior is the affections of our hearts. So the question is, what are the affections of our heart? To walk in purity with God is really about our heart's affections more than anything else. I've tried for years trying to get victory over sin, and we try, and it just doesn't work until I've realized it's more about my heart's affection than anything else, because if I really want to walk in purity before God, I will get victory. If the affections of our hearts are right, then our behavior will follow. And it's important not to get that wrong, because the how only leads to brokenness, discouragement, burnout, and ultimately just learning to say the right thing, because I'm not getting victory over this, so I might as well just pretend. If the why of our hearts is right, then you would want to walk in purity. And if you want to walk in purity, you will walk in purity. I remember years ago, I'm just going to say this, about 10 years ago, my wife caught me watching porn, which wasn't great. Gentlemen, I don't suggest you get into that. It's hectic. And we had to go through stuff, and we had to get counseling, and we started this Conquer series. It was called Conquer. Yeah, it sounds better because it sounds more... anyway. And there were about six of us. And today, as I'm standing here, of those six, two are not walking with God anymore. Completely left the faith. They just completely lost it. And the other three still walk with God, but they're not. They love God and they walk with Him, but they haven't gotten a hold over porn yet. And it's almost 10 years later. I'm not blowing my own trumpet. But I'm the only one that's walking in total freedom of porn 10 years later. And we did a Conquer series for weeks. And we met weekly. And we were part of each other's love. And we held each other accountable. So all the hells were in place. How to get victory over porn. And I'm just going, Those things are great, but if the why, if our heart's affections aren't in the right place, people are just never going to walk in purity and in what God has for them. Does it make sense? So, what are the whys? Why do we want to walk in purity? And I got so convicted just a few weeks ago, just reading this scripture, Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So the question I want to ask is, do we want to see God? Do each and one of us, do we want to walk with God daily? Do we want to walk with Him intimately? Do we want to be people that hosts His presence? Do we want to find Him in the secret place? Do we want to keep in step with Him? Are our hearts burning within us to see Him? Because if we desire to see Him, we will do everything we can to walk in purity. If the why of our hearts is, God, I want to see You, I want to meet with You, I want to walk with You, we will walk in purity. Then we'll do whatever it takes. So the question is, are we desperate for Him? Because if we're desperate for Him and you want to walk in purity, then you will reach out to others to help you keep you accountable. You will organize prayer times. You will ask people to walk with you. You will seek God's face in the secret place. You will do whatever you have to do, because we're not called to walk with God by ourselves. So this is not me saying, you know, go by yourself and just walk with God in a secret place, because we need each other. This is biblical to walk with one another. But you will be the one that goes, I need help. I need people to walk with me. I need people to pray with me. I need people to hold me accountable, because you want to see God and you want to walk in purity. Would we seek God's face in the secret place like our lives depend on it? Do we see the seriousness of walking in purity like our lives depend on it? Or are we just going, oh, I'm not walking in purity. Probably not walking in purity a year from now. It's okay. Or are we going, I desperately need to see His face, and because I want to see His face, I will do whatever I can to walk in purity. Revelation 22 is such a phenomenal scripture. And just the context of this is, God is showing John the new heaven and the new earth, so how things are going to be one day. And so it says here, the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear. So this is just imagine new earth, new heaven, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down to the middle of the great street of the city, new earth. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. And then verse 4, they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. That verse 4, they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Isn't that a great motivator to want to walk in purity? That you're going to see God's face one day, and His name is going to be on your forehead. And that's the why, is the affections of our hearts to see Him. Do we realize that we are going to see Him one day face to face? And you know what? That is a great privilege. Moses, a man who walked with God, who loved God, he wasn't able to see Him face to face. He asked God, can I see You face to face? And God said, if you see My face, you will die. But I'll pass in front of you and you'll see part of Me. And God showed him His goodness, actually His glory. That's Moses, right? Who spoke to God like a friend. The Bible says he went to the tent of meeting and he spoke to God like a friend. And he came back and they had to put a bag, over his head because of God's glory shining on his face, right? That's Moses. And he didn't have the privilege to see God face to face. And you and I can see God face to face daily. How phenomenal is that? How phenomenal is that? Moses couldn't see His face, but we can. Right? John 3:1-3 see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purified themselves just as He is pure. So the motivation for purifying ourselves in this passage, it's not how to purify yourself. It's not a 10-step plan in how to walk in purity. It's the why. And that is because we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see Christ on the throne as He is. And we're not going to see in part anymore. We're going to see Him face to face. So the question is, do we want to walk in purity because we're going to see Him like that? And I really believe, if that is not our greatest desire, then we should repent. Then we should go, God, I'm missing something here. I'm actually missing, it's idolatry. It's actually idolatry, because then you're loving your sin and you're loving your impurity more than loving God. We have this new couple visiting Weinberg at the moment, phenomenal couple, and they're looking in. And they were part of a church in Joburg that didn't really allow for the Holy Spirit to move or for His gifts to flow, like prophecy and things like that. And they're coming to us for a few weeks now, and they're just loving what they're seeing, which is phenomenal. And we had them over for supper the other night, and they were asking, what is Josh Jane's stance on the end times? And I was like, whoa, here we go. And I was like, well, you know, like some people, obviously there's different streams of argument for the rapture and how that's going to work before the persecutions, after or during the persecutions or whatever. And I just said, you know what? We'll probably have different opinions. Even on eldership, we'll have different opinions. And it's not really that clear in Scripture, because if it was, we wouldn't be sitting here asking or talking about this. It's probably a gray area. But you know what's not gray is eternity. And I actually just encourage them, don't worry about that. Who knows? It's going to pan out at the end. Jesus is on His throne. It doesn't really matter if we go before, after, or in the middle. Who knows? But eternity matters, right? That's not gray. That's black and white. The Bible speaks very clearly on eternity. And if you are a Christian, you're going to see God face to face. And that should be the why. That should be, Lord, I'm going to see You one day. I want to keep myself pure. Matthew 13, verse 44-45. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought it. Now, if our impurities, whatever that is, sin, thinking patterns, whatever, is like that man's possessions, do we in our joy give it up so that we can have Jesus, so we can have the greatest treasure? If Jesus is like fine pearls, when we find Him, do we go away and do we sell everything that's dear to us to have that one pearl, to have Jesus? Or are we still going around the same mountain? Do we have a desire to give up our sin, our impurity, or whatever it is, because Jesus is the greatest treasure? He's the pearl worth more than anything. And I really have this urgency that we need to come before God and repent that we are comfortable and happy with evil affections. We are. If we're honest with ourselves, we are. We are happy and we are comfortable with walking in impurity, with going around the same mountain. And actually, it's actually idolatry. Really, the outcry of our hearts should be, God, I want to see You. 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 I want to walk in purity, because I want to see You. I actually want, you know, I actually wanted to worship, but let's actually carry on. Psalm 63. I just want us to just, I'm actually going to read through this twice, and I really just want you to, I really just want you to listen, and then really just, just come before God and ask Him. So Psalm 63, it says, "You, God, are my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and a parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals." And I really just want us to, just where we are, just really come before God. Maybe you can just come and play a bit. Really just come before God and really just go, "God, do I really want to see you? Do I really want to walk in purity? Are the affections of my heart to see your face, to walk with you intimately, to find you in the secret place? Or am I happy with evil affections? Am I happy with idolatry and not walking in purity? Am I happy with just going around the same mountain?" And I really just want to give guys an opportunity just to repent. If you need to repent, do it. If you need to make right with God, do it. Actually, let's stand. Can we all stand? Sorry, I'm just trying to follow God here. Let's all stand. And just before she starts, I'm actually just going to read this again. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Are you earnestly seeking him? I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." Is your whole being longing for him? Are you thirsting for him? Verse 3, "Your love is better than life." Can we say that? Verse 5, "I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of foods." Can we say that? Are we satisfied with God? And I really feel, verse 9, it says, "Those who want to kill me will be destroyed." And I really believe that the things that wants to kill us, the impurities that wants to kill us, if we come before God and if we repent of that, God today will destroy those things. He will destroy those impurities in your heart, those idols in your heart. But we need to come before him. We need to go, "God, the outcry of my heart is I want to see you. And I realize that I'm going to see you when I die one day. And because I'm going to see you face to face, I want to walk in purity."